Al, pantomimes, what is it, because you've written for Cambridge for quite a few years now, what is it you love about this odd annual English tradition?
Yeah, well, I've been writing the Cambridge Arts Theatre Pantomime since 2014. But before that, I worked at the theatre in a number of roles. So I've been surrounded by panto since probably about 2006 when I started working there. And of course, before that, I very vividly remember going to see my first panto. I must have been 7 or 8 years old. It was Leeds City Varieties, or possibly Leeds Grand Theatre, and Ian Lavender and Rula Lenska were in it. It was brilliant. And that memory has lived with me, you know, some 30-odd years later. You know, the joy and the magic and the excitement of going to the theatre as a young child. And I think that's what's most exciting about panto is, you know, it's often children's first experience of going to live theatre, and you know, you get this amazing spectacle and these fantastical stories with, you know, heroes fighting giants, or you know, serving girls becoming princesses, and it's just so joyful, and that's what sticks with people, I think. And we've had people in Cambridge who've been coming to the pantomime for, you know, 50 odd years themselves as children, and then as parents, and now as grandparents, and you know, seeing multi-generations in the audience is absolutely wonderful, and that tradition getting passed down through generations is lovely.
Well, if I turned the clock back literally 50 years to Christmas 1970, it would have been 51 years, I remember Ian Lavender in the pantomime at the theatre in Watford that I was working at, the Palace Theatre, and Colin Bean, who was another member of the Dad's Army cast. It's quite an outing for popular characters, actors and actresses from television these days, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And 100 years ago, the stars of pantomime would be the stars of music hall. You know, they would have been the prime time entertainers of their day. And so we haven't lost that. You know, 100 years later, we're still, you know, pulling in the best and the brightest of stage and screen. And, you know, we've worked with some amazing people in Cambridge. We've had Tony Christie a few years ago, who absolutely brought the house down when he sang Is This the Way to Amarillo? We've had Wayne Sleep for a couple of years. The children don't necessarily know who these people are, but their parents do and their grandparents do. And so you have a mix of talent that's been on the stage for a while and new up-and-coming performers. There really is something for everyone.
You've certainly got quite a mixture of pantos today. Ian said at the beginning that it's a panto palaver, subtitled here a socially distanced panto themed adventure. So it's not a story we really know. And the stupidest, baddest baddie is very topical.
Yes, I mean, we didn't have to look very far from home to find a baddie worthy of writing this story around. You know, normally we would obviously be doing a full show, 2 hours long with an interval and a full company. Obviously, 2020 being the year that it has been, that's not possible. And so we decided a few weeks ago to create a show that wasn't, you know, one panto story, but it's a sort of a madcap mashup of two or three stories that people will be very familiar with, even if they haven't come to see an arts theatre panto. You know, most people will know the story of Cinderella. Most people will know Aladdin, Jack and the Beanstalk and Dick Whittington. So we're sort of taking that idea of, you know, there are multiple stories in panto land, and let's bring them all together. And we've got this brilliant baddie. He's called Count Covigula. You know, there's the topical name, played by the wonderful Stephen Beckett, who is my favourite panto baddie of all time. And he is trying to ruin panto land and Christmas for everyone. And it's up to our gang of motley crew of heroes to stop him.
And you've got some other regulars back, haven't you? Because I know Stephen's been at the pantomime before now, but Matt Crosby, I think, is back.
Yeah, Matt Crosby's back. I mean, I think this must be his 15th year at Cambridge Arts Theatre. He did a number of years as a comic and has now done a number of years as the Dame. You know, he's, in my opinion, he's the best panto dame in the country, and I'm absolutely thrilled that he's coming back. We've got Isaac Stanmore coming back. He was Buttons in Cinderella last year, a wonderfully gifted comic actor who will hopefully have everyone rolling very socially distanced in the aisles. And then we've got a couple of new faces this year as well, Lucy May Barker and Chloe Taylor, who are both West End stars, and will be bringing something new to the table this year.
And do you very much write for the actors who are playing the characters, or do you get a character in mind and stick to it?
But it's really interesting. Normally, obviously, the we would know in February or March sort of time what show we're doing. And then you start to write the script, but don't necessarily know who's going to be in it. The beautiful thing about writing Panto is obviously, you know, it uses very well-established characters within very well-established storylines. And what we do a bespoke show every year. It's, you know, even though if we might be doing Cinderella for the 12th time in 50 years, the way we approach the story will be new every time. But of course, the characters remain the same. And then once you know who's cast, that really does influence the rewriting, because, you know, you might get a couple of years ago, we had a ventriloquist playing Wishy-Washy in Aladdin. And I had written this part for him, but, you know, not to put words in his mouth because he was a ventriloquist. It wasn't as good as it could be. So you then rewrite it around the people that you get. And that's half the fun as well, is you know, working out how to make these well-established characters fit the actors that are playing them so they can do them justice.
And do you still have the sort of the famous lines like, oh, no, he isn't, and look out, he's behind you, that sort of thing?
Well, I mean, you know, this year it is going to be a different show. There are a lot of traditional Panto things that people will be used to that we may not be able to do in the same way this year. Obviously, government guidelines are constantly changing around, you know, singing along and shouting out and all of that stuff. So what the challenge has been, and it has been a challenge, but it's been really fun thinking outside of the box, is how we approach it to make it, you know, still that fun Panto experience for the audience, but not in the way that maybe they'll be used to. And I think, you know, the team and the director, Michael, have done a really good job of being really open to looking at new ways of doing things. And, you know, I know that the company can't wait to get on stage in the next few days and start trying it out, and then trying it with an audience, you know, to see if it works. It'll be the first time that a lot of us will have been in a theatre since March. So it's going to be a very emotional experience, and we really hope that the audience will come along on that ride with us as well.
It's always intrigued me what authors of pantomimes do the rest of the year.
Well, I mean, this year, you know, I've done a lot of watching Netflix, lying on the sofa, you know, sort of wallowing in the general ennui of 2020. I've got a 4-month-old baby. My wife gave birth just as I live in Manchester. She gave birth about a week before Manchester went into the second lockdown at the end of July, where we have been ever since. So, you know, we have spent the year navigating that, you know, raising a baby who hasn't been able to see her grandparents very often. But other than that, I work as a literary associate for a theatre company up in Manchester called Box of Tricks. And we've been doing loads of really interesting online stuff this year in response to the crisis, and also a lot of script call outs and competition. So it's kept me very, very busy, actually, which I'm very, very grateful for. But I've still found a bit of time to do some of my own writing, and I actually didn't think that I would be writing a pantomime this year, so I'm just absolutely honoured and privileged that I've got the chance to put some, you know, some silly stuff on stage again.
Well, I wish you a very happy Christmas to the three of you there, and thank you very much for talking to us today. Al Lockhart, Marley, the best of luck for the future.
Thank you very much.